This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank and Christina Sasso coming at you with today's topic, Did You Google Me? Did you Google me? Okay. Hello to all of our partners, listeners, members, subscribers, friends, family. We really hope you get something out of this today. That is our prayer.
Amen.
Okay, so, did you Google me? What does that even mean, Chris?
This came out of our own experience. So we were like, oh man, we should do a podcast on this. So that's usually how a lot of the podcasts evolve.
That is true.
It was from our experience of having a word from the Lord and giving that word and then having people... You know.
Well, at first, get very encouraged by it, very excited about it.
Right.
And then in a couple of days...
They're all pissed off because, you know, someone said, oh, they probably Googled you.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Look, we live in an age now where information is very, very easily accessible. There's no denying that. I actually never have Googled myself. I don't think I've ever done that.
I'm like, really?
Yeah, like...
You should Google. To answer your question, I have Googled you.
Yeah.
And like History with God comes up. Hmm. What else comes up? I forget now. But I have Googled you.
Hmm. Well, whatever. I just, you know, I'm not interested. Anyway.
I have also Oogled you, by
Ooh.
The way. Which I still do on a daily basis.
Well, that's something I'm interested in.
All right, let's get back on track.
But a word of knowledge.
Right.
Is somebody giving somebody a word that the Holy Spirit has dropped onto them about their life that they wouldn't normally know.
Correct.
That's a word of knowledge. So let me give you an example. Let's say they don't know you. Like they just met you at a party. Okay?
Okay, sure.
So someone comes up to you and says, and you say, hey, oh, hi, oh, hi, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know your name is Frank. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know. Do you know someone named Gladys? Oh, my God, my sister's name is Gladys, because the Lord just told me your sister's name. I haven't spoken to my sister in 4 years. We had a falling out.
Mm.
Now, if the person doesn't get anything after that from the Lord, I believe that they should just be quiet or say, I'm not saying this is the Lord giving me this, but maybe you should pray about this.
Okay, so you're saying that the person who's giving that word, if they get nothing else, they should just be quiet.
They should either be quiet,
right.
Or if they feel like they want to add on to that, make it clear that, well, this is me talking now. This is, you know, this is Christina saying this. I'm not saying the Lord just told me this, but I'm saying, well, maybe the Lord wants you to make, we know the Lord wants you to reconcile and
yeah, you could offer advice on what to do with the word,
right,
but don't try and interpret what God is, what
unless
God
he
means
gives
unless
you that
he gives exactly
unless
right. he's giving it.
So now the person says, oh wow, you know what, I've been thinking about my sister and I really have been feeling whatever, you know,
whatever,
blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
And then a couple hours later at the party, you know, someone comes up to you and says, hey, you know, I heard you gave Joe Blow over there a word from the Lord about his sister. Well, you know, you could have Googled that. Like,
or even more so, they go to the person who's now so encouraged they got a word from the Lord. They go to that person and say, oh, well, he could have Googled that.
Right.
He could have found that information out on the internet.
Right.
And just so you know, we are not in the business, okay, of finding dirt on people. Anybody can find dirt. We find gold in people is what we do as Christians.
Yeah, just to take that a little step further, I'm not interested in people's past sins.
Exactly.
And I'm not interested in dredging them up because I've got plenty of my own. And you know what? If someone wants to dredge them up, thank God for Jesus.
Amen. Thank God
for
the blood.
So if there's someone out there who has these quote-unquote terrible sins in their life, glory to God that Jesus covered it all of it, past, present, and future.
Washed away.
Who am I to now dredge them up?
That's right.
Anyway, that being said, you know, so many times if you get a word of knowledge for someone nowadays, anybody could say, oh, well, you found that on the internet. Like, well,
what happened to me? It happened to me at work.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you give some real life examples just so that people can see specific examples of how this would work?
One right off the top of my head.
Okay.
It's a woman at work.
Mm-hmm.
I meet her. We just start talking.
Mm-hmm.
We're both Christians. I give her the website. She goes to listen to a podcast. She loves it. The Lord then just drops this word on me to give to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her some information about her life. And there were definitely some names. Because sometimes, a lot of the times, I get names.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Lord will just tell me names of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave her the word, and she was initially so excited, so encouraged, she even signed up on the devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Within, I want to say, 2 days. I'll say 2 days, just to, because I'm not sure, but I know it was very soon after.
Mm-hmm.
She took herself off the devotion, and I noticed it, and I said, hey, I saw you took yourself off the devotion. And she said, well, I get too many things in my email, and which is fine. Okay, that's cool. But then later on, I find out the truth from another sister in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Says that, oh, well, so-and-so was told that you could have looked that information up on Google.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she took herself off the devotion.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did she not come to me, her brother, and be upfront with me and say, well, why.
Let me just stop you right there.
What?
That's another podcast. Another time.
That is another podcast. Okay.
Because that's another one of my really big pet peeves.
Right.
I have a problem with you, and I'm going to tell everybody else except you.
Exactly.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that runs rampant in the church. But
okay.
Another podcast for another time.
Right.
Let's stay on this.
Okay.
I find out that now she no longer talks to me.
Mm-hmm.
She avoids me.
Mm-hmm.
Unless she absolutely has to see me to hand me mail at work, then she'll do that. But mm-hmm. other than that, done. Another person mm-hmm. who I gave her a word initially. Got it. Cool. Mm-hmm. Within a couple of days, doesn't want anything to do with me because I could have looked it up somewhere online.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, we don't even have the internet at work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now here's an example of how a good part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we went to go see Frank in Staten Island?
Mm-hmm.
We had just met that guy. It's actually on video.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to our YouTube channel, you'll see it that right there. Ministering in Staten Island. The Lord hit me with a word right there on the spot on video.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch Frank's reaction, the other guy's name is Frank too. He's so encouraged. And to this day, we're still in touch. We're going over there for a barbecue in the summer. And now there's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it does go the other way. People do get very encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
But there are those that will immediately go to the place of, well, you could have looked it up on Google, so therefore you're a false prophet. So why don't we go to the Word and see what the Word says about what false prophets are.
Right. Okay. There's lots of scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament that speak to prophecy and prophets. There's a Deuteronomy 18:20. This is Old Testament. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die.
And that's, right, so in the Old Testament, if you were saying that you're a prophet,
right,
and you were going to say something, like a thus saith the Lord,
right,
and that's not what the Lord said,
right,
the penalty of that is death.
Right, and that's Deuteronomy 18:20, and it continues into 21 and 22.
Which, again, is still Old Testament.
Old Testament. Then there's Jeremiah 23:14. I have also seen the prophets of Jerusalem, an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doeth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. Jeremiah 6:13-15. For the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. And then it goes on to say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not ashamed. Ezekiel 22:25-28. So I'm just giving you scriptures that you can look up for yourself. We always, always want you to go to the Word and look it up for yourself, read it for yourself. Read it with the Holy Spirit for your own revelation.
What does it say in the New Testament?
Yes, let's go on to the New Testament.
About false prophets.
I'm going to skip around. You can read this for yourself. Matthew 7:15-23. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. That's a good indicator.
Oh, so you will know a false prophet
by their fruit. Yes.
Meaning bad fruit. I would think.
Well, let's continue in the Word.
Okay, let's see what that means.
Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit.
Okay.
A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity and lawlessness.
Hmm. So that's right up there with, don't be hearers of the word only,
but
right?
Doers of the word.
Doers of the word.
And it also, be a fruit inspector.
Right.
Check the fruit.
How do you know if a false prophet is false? By their fruit.
Fruit.
Okay, so what kind of fruit would that be? Would be getting people saved bad fruit?
No, that's great fruit.
That's good fruit.
Reconciliation.
Good fruit.
Forgiveness.
Good fruit.
Prosperity.
Good fruit. Health.
Health.
Good fruit.
Peace.
Yeah, that's all good fruit.
Separation.
Not good fruit. That's bad fruit.
Unforgiveness.
Bad fruit.
Poverty.
Bad fruit.
Sickness.
Bad fruit.
Bitterness.
Bad fruit. Aughts. Bad fruit.
Fruit.
Sleepless nights.
Bad fruit.
Fruit. Divorce.
Bad fruit.
Fruit. I mean, okay. Oh, Madonna.
Okay. Let me just read 2 Peter 2:1. But there are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. There's another hint. In their greed. There's another hint. These teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Okay. So, you know, God warns us about people who would go around as false teachers and false prophets.
Absolutely.
And he tells us very clearly in his word,
right,
how to be aware of that. 1, we just mentioned from the fruit. And here we have another, destructive heresies.
Mm-hmm.
We always say, go back to the word.
Right.
The word will tell you and guide you and direct you. The Holy Spirit will give you revelation.
Also, condemnation.
Right. Denying that the sovereign Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Denying Jesus, that would be a biggie.
Yeah.
That would be a big...
That's a pretty big one.
That would be a big one.
Yeah, if someone came up to me and said, I have a word from you from the Lord, gives me a word, and then basically denies Jesus and the redemptive work he did on the cross, odds are it's not from the Lord.
Right. A false teaching to me, and please feel free to check this out, would be someone who denies that Jesus heals all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who denies that God, the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit wants us to be prosperous.
In all areas,
in
including
all areas,
money.
Wealthy financially,
mm-hmm,
wealthy emotionally, wealthy physically, in divine health.
Wealthy relationally.
Relationships.
Emotionally.
Every single thing in order and in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
So someone who's teaching you that you should be living a devastated life,
right,
that to me is a false teacher.
False teacher.
That's heresy.
Absolutely.
But here's something. I'm not walking around, I'm not pointing the finger at people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, another thing I've noticed, that the people that, how do I say this? I'm just going to say it. People that walk around teaching these condemning, death-filled, sin-filled,
hopeless
messages, that God wants you sick to teach you something, God wants you poor to humble you, and all that literal crap. They're the ones who turn around and point the finger at ministries that are teaching the true gospel,
yes,
which is God loves you,
right,
he wants you to prosper,
right,
he's forgiven you of your sins, past, present, and future. The blood of Jesus covered it all.
Amen.
Jesus did it all. You cannot do anything in your own power, because all your works is filthy rags. You are the righteousness of God. Come boldly into the throne room of grace. Those other guys are... I mean, you go online and you put in somebody's name and boop-a-doo-doo-boop-a-doo-ba-doo, false
right,
teacher, false prophet, false
right,
teacher. Oh, he's
the most dangerous man
in the world. But yet I never see the most dangerous man in the world pointing the finger at anybody
else. I know.
And here's what I think. I think because the quote-unquote most dangerous man in the world is too busy building the kingdom of God.
Yeah, amen. You're right. I totally agree with that. And that's why he is the most dangerous man in the world.
That's right.
Jesus'
name. He's dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. That's
right.
What he's dangerous
that's
to.
Right.
He is. Amen to that.
They called Jesus dangerous.
That's right. I would be honored to be in that number.
And you are in that number.
Thank you. Okay, so you check it out. Check the fruit. If someone gives you a word, here's another thing. I really do think with the whole giving a word thing.
Yeah.
Since people are so suspicious of prophets, like, oh, they're always out for something, or I don't even know what that is. They've kind of been removed from the whole church system.
Yeah, right.
And delegated to I don't know where. And from my research and from our own experience, I find that pastors seem really afraid of prophets.
Absolutely.
For some reason that we're not going to get into right now. So when someone has a word for someone.
A legitimate
someone,
word from the Lord.
A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom,
right.
A future prophetic word,
right.
Maybe a warning or whatever. Whatever God wants to say to somebody, we as Christians don't know how to receive it.
Right, because we've never been taught.
We've never been taught.
The church has never been taught to receive a word. That's why they flip out. They get all fritzed out when they get a real word from the Lord. They don't know how to deal with it.
Right, but it's in Scripture.
I know. Well, most people aren't reading Bibles.
I guess what we could talk about a little bit is, what do you think would be a way if someone came up to you, a stranger maybe on the street, or because you've had someone walk up to you, give you a word or a word of knowledge?
Absolutely.
I've certainly gotten them. And here's what you do with them. You say, thank you so much for being obedient.
Right.
Because instead of, I don't know why we're so mean as Christians. I mean, I could almost cry about it. Then why are we so mean to each other? We're supposed to love each other. The first response to someone giving you a word is to say you're a false prophet.
I know.
And meanwhile, we should be saying, thank you, brother. Thank you, sister, for walking out in faith. Even if you're mistaken.
Even if you're wrong. So what?
Even if you're mistaken.
Right.
You know what? Now it's my responsibility
right.
as the person that has been given a word to go to the Lord with it and seek the Lord and say, Lord, okay, so-and-so gave me a word. Now what would you have me do with it?
Right. Even if they're wrong.
Even if they're wrong.
So what?
At least they're walking out what they feel God has put on their heart.
Right.
Do we have to be perfect before we can give a word? Do we have to be perfect before we evangelize?
Right.
Do we have to be perfect before we lay hands on the sick? Well, let me tell you, if you're waiting to be perfect, you're never going to do it.
You'll never do anything because you'll never be perfect.
I mean, you have to go through boot camp at some point.
Right.
You have to be trained at some
but
point.
Yeah, but I think the thing is that we're so quick to say, well, they could have looked that up online, so therefore they're a false prophet. Instead of saying, you know, they probably could have looked that up online. Well, you know what? Whether they did or not,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to take this into prayer. Because maybe there is something here for me.
Right, exactly.
I mean, so what?
Right.
And they're giving glory to Jesus. So really?
Right.
At least I do anyway.
Right.
I mean, I know when the Lord is talking to me and I give the word. If that person doesn't want to receive it and wants to say I'm a false prophet, I don't really care what they think.
Right, exactly.
If you want to think I'm a false prophet, then hey man, think I'm a false prophet. You're the one going to be missing out because God had a word for you.
Right. For any gifting that you feel that you have, you step out in faith and say, Lord, I'm going to go lay hands on this woman, that woman in the wheelchair. I'm going to tell her, look, you're healed. Come on, I'll help you. Stand up.
That's right.
And she turned me down.
I know.
Going to healing masses every week. I'm like, you're going to healing mass? Don't you want to get up?
And she's no closer to getting out of that wheelchair.
So I'm giving her the opportunity to get up. Was I wrong?
Absolutely not.
I was like, you will totally walk if you stand up. And she said no. Was I wrong in stepping out in faith?
Nope.
Because she didn't receive what I had for her?
Nope.
No. Am I a false teacher now? Am I wrong? Should I be like relegated to some, to be, you know, not allowed into a church because I had dared to step out in faith?
Right.
Guys, let's give each other a break.
I know. Grow up, body. Grow up.
You know, we're probably preaching to the choir here.
I know. Anyway, let's go to
the people who are listening to this are probably saying, yes, amen.
Yeah.
And, you know.
What would you say then is a prophet? Obviously, I would think, you know, the opposite of what we were just saying. Correct?
Well, you could go online and you could find out a lot of stuff. You have to be careful the sites that you go through and stuff like that. But again, you go to the Word. Measure everything against the Word and you can't go wrong. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, "But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." So let's define those three words according to Strong's Concordance.
Okay, edification. What does that mean?
The act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness.
Okay.
Exhortation, a calling near, summons, imploration, supplication, entreaty, word of appeal, containing entreaties, admonition, encouragement, persuasive discourse, stirring address, instructive, admonitory, consolatory, powerful, oratory, discourse.
Yeesh.
That's a mouthful.
And what is comfort?
Any address, whether made for the purpose of persuading or of arousing and stimulating or of calming and consoling.
Hmm. Okay. Cool. All right, so those are the three things that are within any prophetic word of a New Testament prophet.
Right. Please look them up for yourself.
Yeah, look this. Don't take our word for it.
Edification, exhortation, comfort.
Amen.
Now, I have heard in the recent past that when a prophetic word is given now in the New Testament, it should always be uplifting and encouraging and never should be negative.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's look at that edification again, that definition. The act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness. And I just want to draw your attention to exhortation, admonition, admonitory. So that doesn't mean negative, but it doesn't mean you're okay. And everything you're doing is... The false prophets did that.
That's right. That's right.
Remember in the Old Testament, they said, oh, king, you'll defeat him. And meanwhile, I think it was Jeremiah saying, no, the Lord does not want you to come up against them.
Right.
And
they're
like, oh, we don't want to listen to you because you gave us something bad.
Right.
So, okay, that was Old Testament.
Old Testament, right.
I get that. You don't think that someone who's a, forget prophet, just let's say a brother.
Yeah.
You don't think if a brother sees another brother or sister heading in the wrong direction, they shouldn't say, beloved, I care for your walk. I just want to encourage you. God loves you. Just can you watch yourself in this area? I mean, not a condemning message, not a convicting message, not a putting down, not a you're a sinner and you'll never be any good. Not of that kind of word, but an encouraging word to you look like you want to say something.
I do, because according to a lot of the body, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to say you're okay.
Right.
Jesus loves you, and He does.
And He does.
But with that love also comes correction.
Right.
Training.
Here's the thing: if you were a parent, any parents out there, you love your children. So are you going to let them just do whatever they want? And say, I love you. You're okay.
No. That's
well, you
nuts.
Know what, Mom, Dad? I think that I'm going to try some heroin because, you know, I want to try it. Well, you know what, honey? I love you.
Okay.
So, you go ahead. I don't know. I know that's an extreme example.
But it's the
truth. Of course, if you're a parent, you're like, listen to me. I've been down that road. Or please don't, you know, whatever.
I'm imploring you.
Exactly. One of the words in the definition of exhortation, imploring, supplication, entreaty, words of appeal.
Oy.
Okay. So I guess that's clear, right?
That's clear to me. I don't know. I don't think I'm the only one that's clear to.
And, I mean, I read in a number of places about a prophet's message and a number of different definitions and explanations of what a prophet is. A prophet has strong words. A true prophet's message is a strong one, and that's why a prophet is not readily accepted in many places. The average person isn't interested in a strong word of correction, rebuke, or direction.
No, they're not. They're really not.
Yeah. Another thing that if you feel like maybe you have this prophetic anointing, another thing that would be an indicator is that you're an intercessor. Because as a prophet, you have a very deep care and concern for the body of Christ.
Right.
So when you get a word, sometimes the word is not to be given.
Right. That's a very important truth you guys need to get. Just because you get a word about somebody from the Lord does not necessarily mean that you need to deliver that word to that individual. It's happened to me. I know some things about people that they don't know I know. And the reason that the Lord gave me that information is so that I knew how to pray about it.
Just so you know, I don't know those things either. Frank doesn't tell me. That's between him and the Lord, and he takes that into prayer. And he prays for those individuals in those areas that God has revealed to him.
Right. By the way, don't be thinking that I don't get tempted to sometimes blurt it out. Because I do, but I don't. Just so you know, I don't. I do take that very, very seriously. But that's such an important truth. I just want to say that again. Just because you get a word from the Lord about somebody doesn't necessarily mean you need to deliver that word to that individual. You're called at that point in your prophetic gifting to intercede in prayer about that issue.
Yeah. I don't want to get into another topic right now because there's the office of prophet, and then there's everyone, as it says in the scriptures, everyone can prophesy. But there's also a gift of prophecy. So I don't want to get into all that right now because that's not what we were planning to do. But if you feel that you have a gift of prophecy, that requires, as it does for all of us, heavy-duty time in the Word, heavy-duty time in praise and worship, heavy-duty time in prayer.
Well, I'm just going to give a heavy word right now.
Mm-hmm.
The office of the prophet, as opposed to prophesying...
Mm-hmm.
The office of the prophet, I just want to put it out there. It's not to scare people. It's just to let them know. It costs you everything.
Hmm.
It will cost you everything. And here's a really quick analogy, and then we'll get off of this.
Okay.
Here's the difference between the office of the prophet and someone who prophesies.
Okay.
We all prophesy. We can all prophesy.
Right.
Not all of us are called to be a prophet.
Right.
So if you join a gym, you, as that gym member, has access to all the free weights in the back, and you can lift as much weights as you want. It doesn't make you a weightlifter,
right?
Okay, so that's kind of like an analogy I'm trying to draw with. We all can prophesy in the body of Christ. Everybody can.
Everyone
prophesy.
Everyone has access to all the gifts.
Well, we're talking about prophecy,
right?
For example,
right?
Prophecy, yes,
right.
All the gifts, absolutely, healing, everything,
right?
But that does not mean you're called to the office of prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another topic for another time,
right? So I just want to backtrack for a minute to talk about if you've gotten a word from a prophet or from someone who is delivering a word of prophecy or a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. All right, I'm going to put it to you. How should that person respond having gotten the word?
The recipient of the word.
Yes.
The recipient of the word.
All right, so I just gave you a word and I stepped out in faith and I said, Frank, I think I had a word from the Lord. XYZ, I don't know if that witnesses to you. I'm just going to drop that into your spirit. That's it.
Wow, sister. Let me just first say thank you for having the courage to give me that word. Thank you for being obedient. I will take that into prayer and submit it to the Lord and see what else the Lord gives me. And I'll get back to you whether I can witness to it or not. And either way, I really appreciate you sharing that with me. Thank you so much. I want to encourage you to keep prophesying. And keep seeking the Lord on stuff like that. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Is that so hard? Isn't that a little bit better than, oh, you're a false prophet. I looked it up and I found the same information you did. Ah!
Right.
It costs nothing to encourage somebody.
I think there's a lot of fear, too.
I know.
I think people respond in fear. And let me ask you, where does fear come from?
The devil.
Right. So if you're being instilled with fear after someone has given you a word, then maybe you need to examine where that fear is coming from. Maybe it wants to get you off what God's trying to say. You know, or a relationship that could be forged with this person.
Right.
Now you're being told, you better stay away from them, stay away from them. They're of the devil.
Right.
And then you run away in fear. First of all, nobody should be afraid of the devil because he's been taken care of.
Yeah.
If you hadn't noticed, he's under your feet. And if he isn't there, get him there. Because Jesus didn't die on the cross. Go into the pits of hell. Get back the keys and the crown for nothing.
Again, another topic
All right.
for another time.
Ah, but I digress.
I do want to say something to maybe the few people that are out there that have called somebody a false prophet for this very reason of being able to be Googled. Let me tell you something right now. If you're that person, I want to share this with you. If you're going to accuse somebody of Googling someone else or going online and finding information about them, then you better take every single word that person ever gave to anybody and give a reason for those words as well as to why they're so accurate. Because I've often said that. If you're going to accuse me of being a false prophet and you're going to accuse me of going online, then you better be able to explain every other word I've ever given that can't be looked up online. Because if you can't, shut up.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, on that note, next week.
I'm excited.
Can't wait. You've been asking.
You've been asking, and we deliver. Next week, we have on the show Katrina.
Katrina's back.
And this time, it's a show with Katrina. And you are interviewing Katrina. And I've heard that there's a special surprise guest the end of the interview.
And I'll tell you who the special guest is.
Wait, you know who it is?
Yeah. See if you can guess who it is.
Oh, good.
DJ Fuzzy F.
DJ Fuzzy F. I don't know who... Well, I guess we're just going to have to wait.
Oh, well.
What's the week after that?
Well, the week after that is Resurrection Sunday.
Resurrection Sunday, also known as Easter.
Yes, and Passover. Passover week. Amen. I love Passover because it's such a foreshadowing of the resurrection.
Amen.
I remember when I first discovered that years ago. I was like, oh, my God, this is so cool!
Well, I always thought Passover was always... I always saw that as one word with a capital P.
It is.
And I didn't realize, I understand it, but I didn't realize the meaning that it meant that the spirit of death passed over the Israelites' homes.
Right.
And that's where they get the word Passover as well.
Oh, it's
word.
Just so
good. It's so good.
Good.
It is good stuff.
Anyway.
But what's going on Easter Sunday?
Easter Sunday, you have a special message.
Oh, my Easter message.
An
yes.
Easter message. Or a Resurrection Sunday
Sunday message. You'll get the idea.
And then, after that...
After that is April 7th, which is the first Sunday of the month.
Yes, we have our Q&A.
Yay! I love the Q&A.
We love the Q&A. So continue to send in your comments and your questions so we can answer them.
Right, that's what we love about the Q&A. We get to hear you guys once a month.
Oh, I love hearing from you. I love it.
And we already got some questions already from the Dave Smithers interview.
Yes,
so
yes.
Hopefully Dave Smithers will be able to answer a question or two.
If he's not jet-setting all over the world.
Jet-setting.
I know you've had requests for Taylor to come back.
Yes, Taylor McDonald.
She's such a busy, busy girl.
Yeah, apparently.
Yes, that we have to, like, pin her down. So that's in the works.
That's in the works.
And Pastor Allen's still around.
Pastor Allen, I spoke with yesterday.
Okay,
he will be coming back, no problem.
Yeah, so these people are still here and still very much involved. It's just, you know, they're doing their things. And
very exciting. Oh, go check out our website. Jason was interviewed on Youth Avenue TV. The video is up on the website right now. That's a lot of fun. So, until next week,
stay blessed!
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries, seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.